it's the not knowing. A lot of people, evidently the legislature thinks we start planning for school in August or something. We actually start planning in January. In February, we're really looking at budget constraints, we're looking at personnel, we're looking at needs. So we really start the year then. By July, if this weren't a legislative year, we'd have just about everything in place. Now, we don't know what our budget is. We don't know what our personnel capabilities are. So it's very troubling to not know what your budget's going to be. It is very troubling to think that even when you know, it's probably not going to be what you need. The state has the expectation that we'll all be exemplary. Okay? Well, to be exemplary, you can put a price tag on it. You have to have this just about, this student-teacher ratio. You need to have these kind of coaching programs in place. You need to have this kind of tutoring program in place. You know, you can kind of add it up. Well, it costs X amount of money approximately per kid to do that. But they don't fund us at that. They fund us at a much less less amount of money, but expect us to be exemplary. So that's a disconnect that I've not ever understood. How can you say you want us to run at 90 miles per hour, but they give you a card that the top speed is 60 miles per hour, and then they get upset because you're not running at 90 miles per hour.
Well, I know as a superintendent, you're probably used to finding creative ways to fix things even while if the money doesn't come in one way, you got to still find a solution.
Right, right.
Do you feel like we have the adequate resources in the district to do that?
Well, not only is the state funding being cut, but the federal for Title I money, Comp Ed money. I mean, just from listening to the news, you hear what a budget crunch everyone is in. So not only are we losing state funding, we're losing funding. And on top of that, grants aren't being funded like they were in the past. So everything, a lot of revenue streams have dried up. One thing we will do is raise the student-teacher ratio at all levels. We will have a higher student-teacher ratio, and that's not something that we want to do. We will also look at, is it a possibility of maybe cleaning rooms every other day instead of every day? Do we put fees? You know, we could add fees, user fees. Of course, we would scholarship those students who are on free and reduced price lunch, but in a district like Waco, if 88% are on free and reduced price lunch, you know, fees doesn't generate a lot of money. We could look at things like right now our employees get 10 days could be personal leave, illness, you know, death in the family. We may cut that back to 5. That would be a substantial savings. And some of these could be just temporary things.
Yeah.
Right now we have a catastrophic leave bank that's it's very good for the employees, but it is a liability for the district. We could look at encouraging people to get disability insurance at a nominal amount rather than relying on the district having that liability. It could be reducing everyone's work by one day. Certainly looking at electricity, looking at I'm doing a departmental audit on transportation right now just to make certain that we're running as lean as possible. We can look at maintenance. You know, are we changing the filters enough or not enough? You know, our air conditioner filter bill's big.
Sure.
So are we doing that right? Should we be changing them more often? I mean, it may be worth it to hire a person if it's making our air conditioners last longer.
Yeah.
We're looking at everything. There are no sacred cows.
Well, final couple questions here before I let you go. One, you know, you've had to make some tough decisions, but have there been some fun decisions, some fun days for you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. One is just being on campuses. Mm-hmm. And kids are kids, and they like their friends. They like to be in school. They like to be successful. You know, for some of our kids, school's the nicest, safest, best place they are. I went to Mountain View's IB celebration. I went to Hillcrest's night of honoring the students who have really achieved on the tax test. I've seen kids, you know, dig in the dirt and build little castles and thinking they're mansions. We've been able to hire two assistant principals as principals. You know, everyone's dream is to get that principalship. And so that's always a pleasure when you can say, you got the job. The same thing for advanced academics. You know, that was Miss Dr. Boswell. You know, she wanted to be back in schools and working near Baylor. She's very connected to Baylor, and that was another reason that we wanted her. special education. We had not been serving that population as well. And we've hired Ms. Tarleton, and she's doing an excellent job of working with those parents and those students and doing a better job of serving them and just seeing the district get better. I was at Avance, and those parents were very frustrated with some of the things that were going on in the district. And after they told me about those things, I can see why they were very frustrated, because they were treated very badly. Mm-hmm. And just this lady just had tears in her eyes, and she said, "Thank you for listening to me." That's all she wanted, was somebody to listen to her and say, mm-hmm. "You know, I'm going to look into that. That's not right." Some our GED and ESL programs that parents graduate from and work in, for a man to look at you and say, "Thank you for giving me a way to support my family."
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Well, and finally, I'll wrap it up by just asking you, obviously you came here, you want to make Waco ISD exemplary, just like you did at Pearland. Do you have a better idea of what's going to take to get it done now? And do you have, I know it's still very early, but are you already kind of thinking in your mind what it's going to take?
Absolutely. We've got the kids, we've got the parents, we've got the community that wants to do it. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have some community-wide efforts soon that we would love to talk to you about, mm-hmm. that we all, the Baylor, the school district, the community, the city, the faith community, the medical community, all come together, and we're going to build bridges out of poverty. And if it starts a block at a time, we're going to do that, because the school district can't do it alone, Baylor can't do it alone, the city can't do it alone, but together. But it's even me saying this, it almost sounds trite. You know, we're going to take this community and we're going to turn it around. You know, it can't be talk. We can't just talk the talk. We're going to have to walk the talk. And that's going to be some tough things. That's an example for that is, see, there's situational poverty and there's generational poverty. The situational poverty is, I've lost my job, I'm looking for another one, I'll probably get it in 6 months, we had to use our savings, but I got a job, we're fine. Then there's generational poverty and people who actually do not know anyone in their family who's ever worked. So to break that cycle of poverty, Waco ISD or Baylor or the city can't just say, okay, we're going to give you, or right here at this radio station, we're going to give you a job, an entry-level job in the custodial department, okay? Then they're late one day, they kind of say something bad to someone the next day, whatever. The third day, we'd say, you're fired. It's not working out. But then we'd go away saying, you know what? We tried. You know, we tried, but it just didn't work out. Instead, if we know this person has never seen anyone get up and go to work, this person doesn't have anyone to run. You know, we've all got the written rules and the unwritten rules. Mm-hmm. And if there's no one to tell them the unwritten rules, so we would be making a commitment that we would say, you don't have an alarm clock? We're going to buy you an alarm clock. You know what? I'm going to call you to make certain you're at work. Someone's going to be there to explain. When your boss says, get up and do that, you don't argue with them. And here's why you don't argue with them. Because when you argue with your boss and there's other people around, you know, and to go through all those unwritten written rules and to make them successful. Now, obviously, there would be a time limit on that. After 90 days, if you're not making progress, we probably need to start on somebody else, mm-hmm. okay? But we also can't always have minimum wage jobs that they come to. That there has to be a commitment that if you really want to break that cycle of poverty, some of those jobs we need to increase and not just pay what we have to pay, but actually pay a little bit more. You know, there's a difference in making a living and making a life.
Yeah.
And that we would all make that commitment, because that's walking the talk instead of just talking the talk.
Yeah.
And if it's harder to get this person on, and it could even be the faith community, we could ask them if they could assign a person. You know, maybe we would have a group of people that after work, they would actually have a little every Thursday, have dinner for them, and have those in that church who were employers or worked in HR or whatever to say, here's how you do that job. Here's what you need to do. And we get that first job, that first person successful, and then we start on the next one. And if everybody's doing that, yeah. We've got carpentry jobs, we've got food service jobs, we've got transportation. I mean, you've got jobs here.
Yeah.
And we all make that commitment that we're going to have some kind of training program that's more than just talk, then we are going to turn Waco around. And I want Waco ISD to do its part in doing that.
Dr. Bonnie Kane, superintendent of Waco ISD. All portions of this three-part interview can be found online at kwbu.org and this Sunday at 3 on KWBU Rewind. For KWBU News, I'm Derek Smith.